Let me ask you a question. If you had to choose one word and only one word to describe Jesus, what word would you choose? Now, as I think about that, that would be a very difficult decision because when I think about Jesus, a lot of words come to my mind. For example, first word that comes to my mind when I think about Jesus is the word love. After all, the Bible says in 1 John chapter 4 that God is love, and so I might be tempted to say, my word is love. Another word that comes to my mind when I think about Jesus is the word holy. My dad talked about that this morning. Jesus was tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. He never thought anything wrong. He never said anything wrong. He never did anything wrong. And so we could choose the word holy as our word for Jesus. You might choose the word redemptive when you think about Jesus, because after all, Jesus came to this earth to seek and to save that which was lost. He is our Redeemer, and so the word redemptive is a wonderful word that we could use to describe Jesus. But I think if we could have spoken, or tonight if we could speak to those disciples who spent 3 years with Jesus, Peter and Andrew and James and John, and we could say to them, hey fellas, you were with Jesus in every imaginable setting, in every imaginable circumstance. What word would you choose if you could only choose one word to describe Jesus? I can't prove it, but I think that those disciples, after thinking about that for just a moment, would say, if we only had to choose one word to describe Jesus, it would be the word kindness. I think those disciples would say, for example, to me, they would say, John, we saw Jesus interacting with people who were sick and needy. We saw Jesus interacting with people who were rude and haughty. We saw Jesus in difficult circumstances. We saw Jesus when he was beaten and rejected and all these things said about him. And the one thing that stood out to us in our mind about Jesus was his kindness. It says in Romans chapter 2 in the NIV translation, God's kindness leads us to repentance. Say that with me. God's kindness leads us to repentance. How does a person get saved? Tonight, in a few minutes, we'll have an invitation even before we light our candles. And we'll give you a chance tonight to get saved. If people get saved tonight, how will they be saved? Will it be because God came to you and acted mean and told you how rotten you were and intimidated you and scared you to death? Or will it be because God has been good to you? God has been kind to you. God has been tender to you. God has been merciful to you. It's God's kindness. It's like that God's kindness melts our heart. Before we met Christ, we were going in this direction. And then His Spirit convicted us, and He was merciful and kind. And it melted our heart, and we said, we want to go a different direction. And that kindness led to repentance. And that's how we ever got saved. Now, if you'll open your Bibles tonight to Matthew chapter 4, I want to show you two verses, one in chapter 4 of Matthew and one in chapter number 5. In a moment, when we light these candles, the point of the service tonight is that we live in a dark world, right? That's why we have a candlelight service. And so when we light the candle tonight, that candle that you'll hold in your hand is first of all a symbol, a representation, a reminder of Jesus, that Jesus has come into our dark world and He lit things up. In fact, in John chapter 8, Jesus said this. Now think about what Jesus said in John chapter 8. I am the light of the world. Say that with me. I am the light of the world. And so Jesus is the light that came into a dark world. In Matthew chapter 4, if you look down in verse 16, Matthew's talking about how the coming of Jesus is the fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy. And he said this, Matthew said this, quoting Isaiah chapter 9, those who sat in darkness, in other words, before Jesus came on the scene, the world was nothing but dark. Those who sat in darkness have seen a great light. Those who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And so Jesus is that light. What does a light do? A light brightens up a room. A light warms up a room. A light helps people to know which direction they should go. If we turned the lights out in here tonight and blacked it out and said, thanks for coming, you guys have a safe trip home, well, we'd run over each other before we got out of the worship center tonight because we'd be in the dark. We have the lights on. When we go out tonight, we can see where we're going. We don't bump into each other. And so light does all of those things. The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. That was Jesus. He was that light. He is that light. And in Matthew chapter 4, that's what he's quoting, Isaiah's prophecy, that the people there in Capernaum, there by the Sea of Galilee, who had sat in darkness, have now seen a great light. Now turn to the next chapter, Matthew chapter 5. And in verse number 14, notice what Jesus said. Now, in the other verse, in chapter 4, he's the light. But in Matthew chapter 5, in verse 14, Jesus said to those disciples as he was beginning the Sermon on the Mount, "You are the light of the world." Jesus was saying, not only am I the light, Jesus is the light with a capital L. We are the lights with a lowercase L. And Jesus said, you are the light of the world. And he talks about how you don't hide a light under a basket or under a table, but you put it out there so everybody can see it. And in verse 16, Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Now, back to that kindness. You say, John, you've talked about kindness, and now you've talked about the light, Jesus' light, we're supposed to be the light. How does this all fit together? Well, here's how it fits. As we think about going out into the world in which we live, to be a light, to be a reflection of Jesus, to live our life in such a way that when other people see us, they see Jesus. At least they see Jesus in us. They see something about us that is different from others who don't know Christ. We are the little lights. We go out in the world. The question is, what does a light look like? I mean, the world in which we live, how can we brighten it up? How can we warm it up? How can we help people to know the way in the direction that they should go? And how can we point them to God? I guess what I'm asking tonight is, what is the one thing that you can do to be a light for Jesus Christ? And I think, I'm fully convinced, that the best thing that any of us can do is to be kind, not only to one another, but to be kind to everybody. Isn't that what Paul said in Ephesians chapter 4? In the old, remember the old King James? How, if you grew up in the church, you probably memorized it like that. Be ye kind one to another. And so by being kind to each other and being kind to people we don't even know, what are we doing? Well, we're being a light. And we're being like Jesus because Jesus was kind. And that's what Matthew, that's what James and John, and that's what Peter and Andrew would say. They would say, you should have seen how Jesus interacted with people. You should have seen what Jesus did when people were rude to him. You should have seen how Jesus responded when people turned their back on him. It was that kindness. Sometimes he said something kind. Sometimes he just smiled. Sometimes it was just on his face and in his eye. Always it was in his heart. He treated people with kindness and he treated people with respect. And so what I'm saying tonight is the best way that we can be a light for Jesus Christ is to be kind to other people. I'm of the persuasion that nothing is more powerful, nothing is more endearing, nothing is more wonderful than being kind to somebody else. And nothing is worse than being unkind. I was in a dealership last week, a car dealership. I'd gone in to get my oil change. I've been using this dealership for over 10 years. And I got there and about lunchtime on Monday to just to get this done. And I've always had a wonderful experience at this dealership and had a fine experience last week, but the man who was in front of me in the line said to the man who worked at the dealership, he said, "Sir, do you know how much longer it'll be until my car gets ready?" And the man who worked for this place said, "I've got a lot of customers I'm working with today. You're not the only one. It'll be ready when it's ready." And I thought, man, I want to sure be nice to this man when it's my turn. And he said, and the other gentleman said, "Sir, I know you're busy." He said, "But all I'm here for today is an oil change, and I've been waiting 3 hours. I'm just wanting to know how much longer you think it's going to take." And the man just shot back at him, you know, like that, and said, "It'll be ready when it's ready. Go sit down over there, and I'll call for you." And it was so bad. I've been using this place for 10 years, and I'm looking for a new place. And I'll get over it. The guy was just probably having a bad day. We all have a bad day. But what I'm saying is, his unkindness, and we've probably all done that. I don't mean to be judging him and playing like we've never been unkind, because we probably all have. But what I'm saying is that abruptness, that unkindness, I'm sure it hurt that one guy's feelings. He just kind of sheepishly walked off, and I built up my courage to place my order, you know. But unkindness, that puts out the light. Like, what do you think would have happened if that man who worked at that dealership, when the man's car finally got ready, if he would have said, "Okay, there's your car. By the way, we're having services on Christmas Eve at our church. We'd love to have you come." Well, he's not going to. I hope he didn't say First Baptist. I hope he said First Methodist or something, about not First Baptist. But unkindness, it puts the light out. I heard about a lady in a small town. She worked at an old diner. It's kind of one of those, I hate to say it this way, but like a dirty diner. I know in the town where our family was before we came here, in Sulphur Springs in East Texas, used to have a place right up on Interstate 30 called the Pit Grill. I love that place. It was cheap, the Pit Grill. But you can tell by the name, the Pit Grill, that's not where you'd take your date on a first date or something like that, or homecoming, go to the Pit Grill. Just kind of a dirty place. I used to love to go, and then I can't remember if it was a hepatitis or a meningitis outbreak, and I said, "Okay, that's it. I'm not going anymore to the Pit Grill." And I looked it up today, and it's shut down. It's not even there anymore. I wanted to make sure before I went preaching on streaming tonight that one of my old friends owns the Pit Grill or something like that. But anyway, this lady worked at the Pit Grill in her town, and she was not very kind. She was unkind. She was rude. She was abrupt. She was like that man at the car dealership the other day, and one day a guy came in to have breakfast, and he was one of those kind of upbeat type people, and he sat down, and she came over, and he said to her, "How are you doing today, ma'am?" And she didn't say anything. And the only thing she said was, "What do you want to eat?" Just like that. "What do you want?" He should have said, "I want a different waitress," is what he should have said. "What do you want?" He said, "Well, I guess maybe a couple of eggs and a few kind words." She took his order and turned out, walked about 5 minutes later. She came back, plopped two eggs on his plate, didn't say anything. He said, "Well, thank you, ma'am, for those eggs. Now, how about a few kind words?" She said, "If I was you, I wouldn't eat them eggs." That was about as nice as that lady could get. So what I'm saying is, y'all have been to a restaurant like that, haven't you? You've had somebody like that. Kindness is, I think it is so endearing. Be ye kind. When you're unkind, and we've all been unkind. I'm not going to sit up here and play. I've never been we've all been unkind. But I'm saying, when we leave from here tonight, get back in our cars, go back to our houses, tomorrow go to school, go to work, go to the community, if we will be kind to other people, there's something about that kindness that God will use to soften their heart. What does it say in Proverbs? A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. I heard about this lady she was going to a church for about 6 months to a year. She was not a Christian when she started going. She got saved, and one day after the morning service, she walked up to the pastor, and she said, "Pastor, I just want to thank you. You've had an incredible impact on my life." She said, "You are the reason I got saved." And that pastor said, "You don't know how much that means to me. Thank you for sharing that." He said, "I'm curious, which sermon was it that God used to help you get saved?" And she said, "Pastor, I love your sermons, but it wasn't any sermon that you preached." He said, "Well, what was it?" She said, "Well, Pastor, one Sunday after church, the service was over and people were leaving, and I was kind of standing in the back of the worship center. And she said, I noticed some woman kind of ran down the aisle to you, and she was just doing this, and I couldn't tell what she was saying, but I could tell she was letting you have it." And she said, "I just thought to myself, wow, man, go after the pastor right after the sermon." And she said to herself, "I can't wait to see how that pastor responds to that lady." And she said, "Pastor, when that lady got finished saying all that, I couldn't hear what you said, but I could tell by the expression on your face that you responded to kindness with kindness." And she said, I said to myself, when I saw your kindness, I want what that man has, because what that man has is real. So kindness in that in that instance, was something God used to melt that lady's heart. And so she would, you see, the people out there in the world, they're not really interested in how much we know or how many verses we can quote or, you know, how long we've been going to church. What they want to know, when you tell them you're a Christian or I tell them I'm a Christian, what they want to know is what we have real? And does it work? And does it satisfy? And when we're kind, it's one of the fruit of the Spirit. When we are close to Jesus and walking with Him, we're automatically going to be kinder than we otherwise would. I don't know what you guys were doing. You still listening, by the way? Say amen. I'm kind of telling you some stories. I don't know what you did on Wednesday night, November the 8th, last month. But I'll tell you what I did. I came to church, and we've been doing a series on Wednesday nights. We just finished it on the Lord's Prayer. And so I came to church that night and preached a sermon on the Lord's Prayer and went home, changed clothes, and got seated in my living room and turned the TV on. And it was one of those nights I got home and I was not in the mood to work or read or talk on the phone. I just wanted to put my mind in neutral. I turned the TV on and I was just flipping through stations. When I came to ABC, I noticed that it was the Country Music Awards on that night. And I'm not a huge country music fan, but I like some of the songs depress me. Some of the songs I like, you know. But so I thought I'll watch it for a few minutes because I like some of those people. And I'd been watching it for a few minutes when Carrie Underwood, who, even if you don't like country music, you got to like Carrie Underwood, right? I love Carrie Underwood. She sang three verses of Softly and Tenderly, Jesus is Calling. For 6 minutes and 18 seconds on national television, Carrie Underwood sang about Jesus. Now, when she was singing, and by the way, you ought to go home tonight and Google that. I bet I've pulled it up and listened to it 100 times in the last month and a half. But as she was singing that, I thought to myself, you know, there are a lot of songs I like. Of course, Jesus Loves Me is my favorite song. But as I have thought about Jesus and His kindness, I think if we only had to choose one song to represent Jesus to a world out there in darkness, doesn't know Jesus, doesn't know God, not many of them not saved, if we were going to introduce the world to Jesus and we only had one song to do it, I think we could choose that song, Softly and Tenderly, Jesus is Calling. I love that song. Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. See, on the portals, He's waiting and watching, watching for you and for me. That describes Jesus. It doesn't say harshly and abruptly and loudly and meanly and in your face, Jesus is calling. It doesn't say that. Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. I thought, you know, and when I heard that on November the 8th and for the next few days after that, all I could think about was that song. It just describes Jesus. He's tenderhearted. He's kind. And that's how He appeals to us, softly and tenderly. I thought, wouldn't it be great on the candlelight service if we could fly Carrie Underwood in from Nashville and have her to get up there and do for 6 minutes and 18 seconds at First Baptist Pasadena what she did at the Country Music Awards last month. But when I looked into it, she was a little bit too expensive, I thought, for 6 minutes and 18 seconds. And then I had this eureka, a moment. I found it. I thought, hey, why do we need Carrie Underwood? We have Carla Southard, right? And she's a little less expensive even than Carrie is. So I text Carla. I said, Carla, your voice reminds me of Carrie Underwood. And she texted me back and said, oh, brother John, what do you want? You're buttering me up now. She's like my sister and her husband like my brother. I said, here's what I want. I want to know, would you be willing to stand up there on candlelight service night when I finish my sermon and sing three verses of Softly and Tenderly, Jesus is Calling, just so we can be reminded before we light our candles, before we go back out there into the world as little lights, that what this world needs is kindness, love, tender hearts. Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. So when Carla sings this, I want you to think first of all about Jesus. Some of you need to get saved tonight. Jesus is not, sometimes you hear somebody say, well, God came after me with a baseball bat. I don't know what God you're talking about, but the God of the Bible doesn't come after you with a baseball bat. He comes at you softly and tenderly. He's calling. Some of you need to get saved. So when you hear this song, you need to be thinking, that's Jesus. So others here tonight, you're already saved, but you're away from the Lord. Your heart's not tender toward God like it has been. That's okay. God's not mad at you. He's just saying tonight, hey, I'm standing at the door of your heart. I never have left you, but I just want to get back close with you, softly and tenderly. So tonight, when Carla sings this, think about Jesus speaking to you through her. And then think about how, as we go from here tonight, you can go out into to a spouse, to a child, to a parent, to a neighbor, to a friend, to an enemy, to a co-worker, and you can show that same kindness and love, softly and tenderly. Jesus is calling. Amen? So let's listen. Could we welcome Pasadena's own Carrie Underwood right up here tonight? And one of the reasons I wanted Carla to sing is because I love her voice, but she has a tender heart to the Lord. So Carla, sing tonight. Remind us how tender Jesus is.
Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling for you and for me. See on the portals, he's waiting and watching for you and for me. Come home, ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, oh sinner, come home. Why should we tarry when Jesus is pleading for you and for mercies for you and for me. Come home, come home. Ye who are weary, come home. Tenderly, Jesus is calling, oh sinner, come home. Oh, for the wonderful love he has promised for you and for me. Though we have sinned, he has mercy and pardon for you and for home, ye who are weary. He is calling, oh, say.